Now, we're going to look at the first reading, which is from the book of Joshua, on this fourth Sunday in Lent. The theme of these readings is elusive. In one sense, it's self-denial. Then the gospel is the prodigal son, which lays the foundation. Love God, trust God, know that He'll take you back, come back, and then start praying, fasting, and giving alms. So, this is the text. We're in chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, where they're ready now to, in fact, they've just crossed over, and they're ready to celebrate the first Passover in the promised land. And so, the Lord is telling them, I've taken away the reproach. That is the inferior social, economic, every other way. They've been slaves for a while that Egypt imposed upon you. I'm just going to read a bit of it. So, you see, the kings of the Amorites and so forth. And then it says, the Lord said to Joshua, make knives and circumcise. The Israelites that had not been circumcised in Egypt. Then, starting at the last line of that, when the circumcising of the whole nation was over, they stayed to rest in the camp till they were well again. And then Adonai said to Joshua, today, and that starts our text, I have taken the shame of Egypt away from you. Hence, that place has been called Gilgal, until now. That's because the in Hebrew it reads, you say, Hayom galoti et herpat mitzrayim. I rolled away, as it were, the insult, the reproach of Egypt. Might have something to do with being the circumcised and those who weren't, so they now really carry this thing in their bodies. So, as I say, we're in chapter 5, and that was verse 9, and now we will go on to the rest of the chapter. So that name is called Gilgal because, as I think I just read for you, Galoti, from this word, Gala, I have rolled away. So the name is Gilgal to this day. To this day. When I was over there, we all knew where Gilgal was. So they camped at Gilgal and they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month. That's the month of Aviv. On the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. This is the dirt that has been promised to them. This is the land that has been promised to them. Now it's theirs. They have a lot of work to do. There are going to be people opposing them, but they're back. The promise was made to Abraham, and at this moment, it is fulfilled. They observe the Passover, which means they observe the memory of the redemption from Egypt. If you've ever been to a Passover, you know, why is this day different than other days? Why? You see, it's all because of the memory of being saved from Egypt. You see what memory does? It keeps us grateful. Do this in memory of me. You see? Memory means having God's act so present to you that you're different. If you're not different, even if you can recite God's acts in general to you personally, but you're not changed, biblically, you don't remember. You only remember when you're different. And that's niskor is the verb. You know, to remember, to set up a monument, to make your life a monument. It's a characteristic, at least I've noticed in my life, a very holy people, that they're always grateful to God. They know who they could have been, what their life could have been. They know what they were saved from, either because they were in it and got out of it, or because God protected them. But they know. They know. You see? And they remember. And therefore, they now remember the presence of God. And they remember all that He did. And that's where praise comes from, you see. Praise is fitting for loyal hearts, the psalm says. Loyal hearts can praise. Other people can join in for the fun of it, and oh, we praise you, God, blah, blah, blah. But only loyal hearts praise God. Because those are the ones that are committed to Him, joined to Him, you see. So they ate some of the produce of the land. This is the land I promised you. Now, after 400 years, you're back to stay, to take possession of the land that I promised to Abraham and that Jacob and his sons were living on. And now that Moses led you out of Egypt to come and take this land. And so the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. Now I won't be feeding you directly from heaven. I'll be feeding you indirectly from the earth. Now that's very important. Because don't forget, every day we receive this Eucharist, we are receiving the land of Israel. Haaretz. Because the body of Jesus is formed by the produce of that land. To this day, and so Mary. See, it's our physicality that provides this connection with God. If we can't fast, you see, we can't offer to God. But on the other hand, to feast on the body and blood of Christ, we need a body. We need an ability to eat. So that eating now becomes not just a self-centered way of survival, becomes communion with Jesus. And that's why part of eating is fasting. So that we're not so self-centered that the whole world serves as our menu. We eat people. We eat food. We eat clothes. We eat fame. We eat popularity. We eat anything. Some metaphorically as I'm speaking, others literally. And if we're that doing that, you see, then who's the center of the universe? God. No, you. The main reason for your existence is to keep you in existence. That's not your main reason for your existence. It's to know and love and serve God in this life and be happy with Him forever in heaven, to praise Him. And so that's what this text is saying. Now the psalm picks up this same theme. They had no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. That's the last lines of our text. No more manna, not being fed by God. Now the psalm is Psalm 34. The refrain is, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? How do you taste the goodness of the Lord? You open your heart to Him and let Him act. Let Him change you. Let Him win you over. Let Him make you a loyal disciple who is really crazy about Him, preoccupied with Him, you see? Taste and see. And that's, of course, what our text is saying. I'm going to just show you that in the psalm. But in other words, after all that talk about fasting, the psalm sings taste. And it's what you call, it's an alphabetical psalm. And so it starts, Avarecha et Adonai bechol et, I will bless the Lord at all times. his praise ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. Now my soul, you see, for in that culture, it's the nefesh. It's the very principle of who I am. Not just the sort of spiritual thing that keeps me, my heart beating or something. It's my personality, it's my nationality, it's my who I am. As the animating principle of my existence, that's my nefesh. There's a beautiful description of treatment of this in a book by Johannes Petersen, it's a Danish scholar of many, many years ago, on the notion of soul. See, it's who I am, as a living, breathing, feeling, remembering, loving, repenting, serving human being. And I'm of a kind of a soul. You see? I mean, there's an Israeli soul, there's an American soul. It's basically the same, but it's formed so differently. So that's what he's saying. My soul, glory in the Lord. Huh? The lowly will hear me and be glad. I'm going to tell the world what God has done for me. Give me a good example of somebody who did that. Mary, the Magnificat. Is this gesture expressed? You see? Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. Why? I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This is what we sing. You see? This is God's people and us as part of God's people. Then these last lines, look to him that you may be radiant with joy. And your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress saved him. The anav. I'm trying to remember now exactly what word. That's verse 7. Ze ani kara, Adonai shamia. Literally, this ani. This poor man called out, and Adonai heard. And from all his straits, he saved him. That's why I'm singing. It's another psalm, which we'll be looking at later, for the resurrection. Psalm 40 starts off, Kove Koviti. Waiting, I waited for the Lord, and he stooped, and he took me out from a miry pit, and he set my feet on a rock. That's the psalm that Jesus sang as he rose from the dead. He saved me. He took me out of the dirt and put me on a rock. And that's why it starts off, you see, waiting, I waited for the Lord, and he stooped to hear me. Well, this is a psalm of gratitude like that. You see, who sings it? Anybody who knows who they really are. If you know how much the Lord has done for you, how totally you don't deserve it, and where you would be without it, then you're ready to sing this song. How do you get that way? You go talk to the Lord, and he, little by little, letting you down easily till you're finally settled on your foundation, Jesus. And then you say, what a fool I've been. I thought I was running my own life. You see? And no, you're not, you see. And the Lord takes the reproach away from you.